The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Build-Up with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Good afternoon, everyone. It is a rainy, stormy Monday afternoon as we get ready for the San Jose Sharks to play host to Montreal from SAP Center, a battle of two of the top rookies in the NHL, also a team that is a few steps ahead of where the Sharks are this year, but probably akin to a position that the Sharks would like to find themselves in 1 year from now. If that is the case, I think everybody in San Jose would be very, very happy. Obviously, there is a lot of work to do, but San Jose has a big summer ahead. Obviously, more top-tier draft picks, most likely, and a lot of cap space to bring in more talent to San Jose. And I think that as much as people look at where San Jose is in the standings right now, I think there are going to be many players across the league that understand that something is special is building in San Jose, and that with Macklin Celebrini, with Will Smith, with Yaroslav Askarov, you are going to see many players looking at the Sharks as being a team for the future, whereas maybe they would previously have said San Jose is not quite there yet, so they probably feel that there is a quick change to be made in San Jose in terms of the standings. I'm not saying they're winning the Stanley Cup next year, but I would not be surprised to watch this team take a large step forward in the standings. That said, it does make the current reality of losing games, of going through painful trades. Once again, Mikael Granlund, a fan favorite and part of that Lund line, as well as Cody Ceci, a guy who was a very experienced defenseman and was a very good presence in the Sharks dressing room this year. They get traded over the long weekend. I was at Costco early on Saturday morning when I started seeing the reports pop up on my phone. And by pop up, I mean I was getting texts from various parties. But this is the job of Mike Greer right now. He has to make the difficult decisions. He has to make these moves that are not going to be quote-unquote popular because he has to do them. Someone has to make the hard decisions. And yes, while these players are high quality and appreciated, the one thing that I keep on coming back to, just as I did with Mackenzie Blackwood, just as I looked at some of the moves that were made a year ago, their timelines do not match up with where the Sharks' timelines are currently. Now, is there the chance both these guys could come back in free agency and sign with San Jose? Of course, that's always a possibility. But I also look at the fact that these guys who are getting on the, you know, later stages of their career or beyond the midway point, they want to win a Stanley Cup. They want to be in contention. They want to be a winner when all is said and done, just like every player in the NHL wants to have an opportunity to do. And with Dallas, they get that opportunity. And so I do not hold anything against them in that regard for, you know, being amenable to a trade. But at the same time, I think you have to look at it from Mike Greer's position of saying, we're not winning a cup this year, and we're not winning a cup probably within the next 2-3 years of where these guys are going to be falling out of their prime and worth the investment. And I know that you could have the opinion that, well, you know, you want to build the culture, you want to make everybody around the team that much better. And I'm not going to argue with that because it is a factor, but I also look at where San Jose is. I look at where they're going. I look at what they are trying to do. And these are the smart moves, even if it does make the short term that much more difficult. And I don't have to tell you that when we look at the, you know, NHL standings right now, as we get closer and closer to the break, that the Sharks are not exactly in a great position in the standings. If we go by the divisional standings, they have the worst record in the Pacific. They have 36 points. That's the fewest amount of points in the league. And the Sharks, very likely, when all is said and done, will have the most balls in the hopper and the opportunity, or the greatest opportunity, to get the number one overall pick. No matter what, the Sharks are going to have a very, very high pick this year. And I think that that's probably what is best going forward, even if the short term is pain. Right now, they have 15 wins on the year, 33 losses, 6 overtime losses. I don't expect very many wins from here on out to the end of the season. That said, I do understand why the moves are being made, but that's easier for me to say than somebody who's a season ticket holder, that somebody's questioning about how expensive their cable package is. I get it. I understand exactly what your standpoint is, but again, that's what it comes down to with the general manager, Mike Greer. He is making the painful decisions because he knows that the answers to these painful decisions will allow him to have a more successful team in the future. And again, there is no guarantee. If there was a definitive way to rebuild your team, then everyone would do it. But right now, for Mike Greer, this is the way that he is stockpiling talent, stockpiling prospects, stockpiling draft picks, so that he can have the most available, you know, possibilities to go out there and turn himself into a winning team sooner rather than later. You know, some people wonder if the Sharks are getting into an endless rebuild. I don't see that in the slightest. I think the Sharks, by the way that they played in November before they traded away Mackenzie Blackwood, which I do believe had somewhat of a demoralizing effect, I think that people felt like that was a team that was on the rise. And I think a lot of people looked at what San Jose was doing and felt a lot better about it. Obviously, the Sharks have many fewer talented players out on the ice with no more Mackenzie Blackwood, with no more Mikhail Granlund, with no more Cody Ceci. Obviously, they're dealing with a number of injuries right now, but you are going to see more opportunities now for Shakir Mukhmadulin. He's been recalled. Colin Graf has been recalled, and I really liked his game previously. And Andrew Podorowski, who's one of the best goal scorers in the AHL, has been called up as well. And don't be surprised if he impresses you with his game, guys. He is a very, very good hockey player. He's got a nose for the goal. He understands his way in front of the net. He gets into the right places at the right times. Don't be surprised if he does rack up some goals. I think there is a lot to like about his game. Now, of course, the flip side of this is that, you know, for the Barracuda, they are feeling absences to their lineup right now, but the Barracuda have relative depth that they did not have previously. That is one of the things that Mike Greer has been able to do. He's been able to give these guys more and more opportunity to get them to have a great chance to build their games with the Barracuda so that when they come up to the National, there are guys to step in there at the American League level. So again, this is big for San Jose. It's big for the Sharks. It's big for Barracuda. It's big for the organization across the board. And especially for the young players, the Grafs and the Shakir Mukhmadulins, you need to get a good look at these guys. You need to understand what they have in terms of their games and what they don't have. I mean, that's the biggest roadblock to success, is figuring out where guys aren't. You can look at a prospect and figure out what's good about their games, but you don't really know until you see what is lacking when they're out there at the NHL level. You know, Will Smith, we saw his game. He's very good with the puck on his stick. He knows what to do in situations. He reads things very, very well. It has taken to January and February for him to start really turning that two-way aspect of his game into results, where we've seen him turn defense into offense. That takes time, and that should not surprise anyone. And that's why the entire process of rebuilding the Sharks, I think it needs to be understood that it takes time. There are no immediate answers. There are no guarantees. There's no magic trick that is going to put you into contention other than you acquire talent through the draft, through draft capital, and through the signing of free agents. We're all impatient. I understand that. And we're all disappointed that the rest of the year is probably going to be a painful one for San Jose, but that's just how you do it in hockey. There is no magic trick. There is no easy answer. It's a process that you have to go through, and you can look at the way that it's going down in Pittsburgh. Whenever a team has a very long run of high-level success, it comes to an end, and you have to go through pain. That's just what life is in the NHL and in professional sports. Unless you somehow stumble into another generational talent that you weren't expecting, then you are going to be dealing with a road back to the top that is going to be arduous and painful. Now, we can talk about how long it takes and, you know, what things should have been done in retrospect, but right now, things are looking positive for San Jose, even if it is an arduous process to get back to the top. Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith look like they have the potential to be absolute stars in the NHL. Yaroslav Askarov looks like he has the ability to be a star goalie in the NHL. These are foundational pieces of what the Sharks are trying to build. And what's tough is that while we talk about these foundational pieces, we don't know what's next. We don't know how much more is going to be traded away before the deadline. And I think that there's been interest in Nico Sturm. There's been interest in Mario Ferraro. There has been interest in a number of players that are on the Sharks. Luke Cunningham is another one. And yes, these players, their timelines don't necessarily line up with where the Sharks are going to be. And it'd be tough to lose high quality, high caliber players who feel like they have put their, you know, careers and bodies and, you know, done all they can to help the Sharks find success. At some point, you have to look at results and say, okay, we're not winning right now, so what can we do to ensure that we're winning in the future? Does that path to success come through painful decisions that have to be made in terms of trading away relative fan favorites, of which I would consider a Ferraro, of which I did consider a Granlund or a Blackwood, who had really shown how hard they were willing to work for the Sharks no matter where this team was in the standings? And I think that in terms of making yourself a fan favorite, that goes a long way. The effort night in, out, the desire to go out there and give your team the best chance to win. To talk about all this and more, we are now joined by the San Jose Sharks' Mario Ferraro, who I spoke to on Monday after practice. All right, we are here with the San Jose Sharks. Mario Ferraro here on a Monday before the Sharks have three games heading into the Four Nations break. Mr. Ferraro, how are you doing, first off?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm excited for these three games for you guys. I was just asking about getting a couple of days off since the game on Thursday. Obviously, with the grind of the season, getting consecutive days off like that for the body must be really nice.
Yeah, for sure. We've had a pretty hard schedule. A lot of teams do. It's a tough league. It's a lot of games in a short period of time, but I think it's the first time we had more than a couple days in between games for a while. So every chance you get to recover, it's good, and it's good for the body, and it's good mentally too for us. So we're excited for the next few games here just before break.
Where do you feel it the most? Is it actually feeling fresh? Do the joints feel a little bit nicer, or is it just everything?
Every guy's a little bit different in certain parts of the body. For me, I think the mental break is the most important. You're kind of always playing through injury. Usually, anyway, you're sore. Obviously, injury to an extent, but it's just a good mental break to get away a little bit and be refreshed, and then come back into these few games with some more of a clear head and some more juice ready to go at it again.
This is not your first rodeo with the trade deadline. Obviously, the news comes down while you guys are on an off day that Cody Ceci, Mikael Granlund are traded. Does it get any easier for you? Because I feel like people always look at sports a little bit too transactionally, whereas these guys are your teammates, but they are your friends. I mean, you spend more time with them, throughout the majority of the year than you do your family.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it gets easier. You build relationships with different people. Almost like every year, right? A lot of teams have new guys come in, and it sucks when you lose a good friend of yours and a good teammate. For us, those guys were, they were a big part of this team. They gave it their all every night. Granny and Cease, they played heavy minutes for us. And then off the ice, that relationship that we built with them, it was really special. I feel like those are relationships that you'll never lose, and that's the beauty of sports and playing hockey in general is the people you meet. And it definitely sucks when you lose players at the deadline here, but it's part of the business, it's part of the game, and they're in an opportunity to hopefully do something special. So best of luck to them.
I'm sure you're not out there on Google looking at your name and rumors, but do your friends ever send you articles and stuff and they say like, hey, is this true, what's going on with the Sharks? Or do you just have to ignore it if they send you something that is from TSN or the league website or something?
It comes around for sure. I'm from Toronto, so there's a lot of hockey fans back in my hometown. So I get some text messages here or there, but they know just as much as I do. I'm just focused on playing and doing the best I can out there to help our team, and the outside noise and stuff that's going on, I don't really pay attention to either. So I don't have any more answers than they do. Yeah.
So if we look at this year and I come to you and I say the team's doing a lot better, the goal differential's way down, you guys have been there in a majority of games, do you say, yeah, Ted, that's true? Or are you just like, come on, man, we're not winning as many games as we'd like to? Are you able to weigh the good with the bad, I guess?
As a competitor, it's, which everybody in this room is, everybody in this league is, you want to win. You want to win, and obviously the result isn't there, and that's the tough grind about it. But on the bright side, when you look at things and how young we are, we have had a lot more success, and we've been in more games. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, as competitors, it's not satisfying enough, right? So the result is the result, and we're closer, but we're still just not there. So, to stay positive throughout the year and to keep pushing, yes, I feel like I relate to those things, and I say, hey, look, things have gone better. We're heading in the right direction, which is important. But just naturally as a competitor, you want to be winning and you want to be in the race. And but in order to do that, you have to stay positive. And so it's up to us as individuals and as a team to continue to push forward and to continue to push to improve. And we have had those little strides, but we just can't be satisfied. Mm-hmm. Right? We can't get used to this. It's gotta keep going in the upper direction.
The third period has been kind of the point of contention for you guys. I know, obviously, coach will say, well, it's a 60-minute game. Everybody knows that. But how hard is that third period? What do you see in terms of where things are going awry? Is it just that the other team is out-efforting? Is it that they're making the right play at the right time? Because we haven't talked about critical moments, but it is so much goes into it. One bounce of the puck and everything in the complexion of the game changes.
Yeah, the what's at stake is, you know, there's more at stake in the third period when you have a tight lead or a tight game. And I think that's just coming with the maturity of our team. As much as I think third periods have been an issue, there's been other issues too, mm-hmm. right? There's whether it's a second period or our starts to games, there's been different things that have gone on. And that just comes along with maturity and you know, growing as a team. Like I said, that's what to go back to, we've been better, we've been in more games, mm-hmm. but to not get those wins, it's almost even tougher this year because we see that we are closer. So we, you know, we need to work on that. And those are things that I think are going to come just with building, you know, a more confident group and the young players that we have, some more comfort level to be able to play in those tighter situations, those tight games. Because mm-hmm. It is very difficult to win. You know, it's when you close out series, being in playoffs and you know, my younger days, like in college or in juniors, like the hardest games to win are the ones that close it out, mm-hmm. That seal the deal. So we got to get better at that all around, and I know it'll come.
You're a very positive guy. You've got the A on your sweater for a reason. Do you try to pass that on to some of the younger guys who haven't been through as much? Like, I'm sure that when it was your rookie season back in 2019, like, those losses were probably harder to digest. Maybe, you know, I'm sure it hurts the same, but those are your first losses in the NHL, as opposed to where now it's like you've been through it, you understand how to forget it and bounce back. Do you try to convey that to the younger guys?
Yeah, it's hard because as much as I want to be positive and continue to bring it, it does affect me too, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you want to be winning, but that is a very important aspect. I think our young guys are in a, you know, when I came in, I wasn't playing as much, so I think it was sort of different for me. I didn't have as much of a role on the team, mm-hmm. And so now I actually, you know, I take it even harder now, the losing, because I have more of a role in this team and I feel more mm-hmm. responsibility, and I am. You know, I'm older now on this team. I still don't think I'm that old, but on this team, I am an older guy, and it's up to me to keep the group going and to try and, you know, keep building and maintain our positivity. And you know, it comes with some challenges, but yeah, I try to do that for our younger guys. I think that they're pretty good at being really upbeat and, mm-hmm. and being vocal and positive. You know, we got a great group in there. Our young guys are awesome, so it's not too much of a challenge. They love the game.
Yeah.
It's their first year. They're excited. So, you know, it's heading in the right direction, and you know, they're eventually going to be, you know, they're already a huge part of what's going on here, and they're going to be, you know, the center and star of the show.
Do you feel like there's more pressure on you as a leader with guys like McKenzie, who was a big voice? I mean, he wasn't as loud as you, but like after games, he would come up to me and start chatting it up. Like, he was a very social, outgoing guy. I know that Mikhail was a leader here. Cody Ceci was just like the easygoing dude. He was always just very chill. And, you know, those are three big names that are gone now. And does that feel like you have to be a more vocal leader as opposed to just kind of who you are naturally?
I just try to be who I am naturally. I hope that goes enough. Yeah. I just try to be genuine and be myself, and that's what I've been doing, and I don't want to change that. So I hope it works, and I have confidence that it does.
What are you looking at in these three games coming up?
I think our compete level and us playing a full 60 minutes is, mm-hmm. is really important for us. Obviously, we've dealt with some trades here and there, but you know, we have a lot of guys who have opportunity in this room, you know, getting some NHL games in, and that should increase our competitiveness, I think. So we got to be consistent for a full 60, and we just got to play competitive and play with. It's a lot of energy out there. I think that with our young legs, we should have that energy. So,
have you figured out why you guys have maybe played better hockey against the better teams this year?
I don't know. I think maybe we get more of an edge to make a statement. I'm not sure, but you know, every team is good in this league, and there's no mm-hmm. easy game. So if that is the case, we definitely gotta, you know, we gotta do it every night. Shouldn't matter who we're playing against.
I was laughing as people said, "Oh, well, they're going up against Pittsburgh. You know, they're not having as good of a year, and you guys beat them." But I'm still laughing myself saying, like, "Yeah, there's Sid out there. There's Eric Karlsson out there. It's not like mm-hmm. this team's lacking in talent. Like mm-hmm. to your point, every team in the NHL is good, regardless of their record."
Mm-hmm. For sure. I mean, like, it's just, you know, every team's trying to win. We're all going for after the same goal, and you know, not everybody can be in first place, second place. So you go through stretches. Every team's good. Everybody's going to come out and be ready to play, and you know, we got to as well. If we're not, then you know, we're going to get it handed to us. So,
what'd your friends back in Toronto say about you, Fro?
They liked it.
Nice.
Some of them. My mom, not so much, but yeah.
What's not to like about it? He's tapping into my jealousy, folks.
My dad chirps me for it, but he had the same hair when he was younger, so.
That's all. We got to get the side-by-side picks at some point.
Yeah.
Well, right on, man. I appreciate your time as always. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you.
Again, that is Mario Ferraro of the San Jose Sharks. We're out of time. Pre-game 7, go time 7:30. Sharks in Montreal tonight on the Audio Network. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.